The first reading can be found on page 13 in the Church Bibles or page 20 in the large print version. The reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The call of Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and your will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. You can find the reading on page 1169 of the Pew Bibles or page 2056 on the large print Bible. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Faith or works of law? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So I ask again, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by your believing what you heard? So also Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So as I begin a prayer, Heavenly Father, may my spoken words be faithful to your written word and lead us to the living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this morning, we're going back to the book of Genesis as we begin a 5-week look at the life of Abraham. In the first 11 chapters of the Bible, we read of God's miraculous creation of the universe, his appointing of humankind as stewards of the earth, the breaking of the relationship between God and people through Adam and Eve's disobedience, the widening rift between God and people as we walked further away from him, then God's subsequent destruction of human wickedness through a great flood, yet preserving godly Noah and his family and the animals in the ark. But then after the flood, over further generations, people once again became arrogant and proud, building the Tower of Babel, so to reach the heavens and make a name for themselves. So the Lord confused their language and scattered them over the earth. It's out of these scattered, wayward people that God called Abram, or Abraham as he will become known. Abram is introduced in the final verses of chapter 11. His father, Terah, had set out from Ur with his family, including his son Abram, intending to go to Canaan. We aren't told why he set out, and we also aren't told why, when they came to Haran, they settled there instead of going on to Canaan. But they settled in Haran, and they seemed to prosper. Then the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. God told Abram to leave three things: his country, his people, and his father's house. Abram submitted to God, letting God move him to a new place. And he was willing to make sacrifices for God. Not merely the famous story of Isaac that we will hear in a few weeks, but first he gave up the comfort of his home, the security of his people, and the position of his father's house. We can all learn from Abraham's pattern of submission and sacrifice. His submission and sacrifice allowed God to work in him, to work with him, and to work through him. Thus, Abraham becomes one of the most significant people in the Bible. In the Old Testament, we read the phrase Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob over and over again. Abraham, his son Isaac, and his grandson Jacob. They are known as the patriarchs, the fathers of Israel. Abraham's grandson Jacob would be renamed Israel. 10 of Jacob's sons and 2 of his grandsons became the founders of the 12 tribes of Israel. So when God said that he would make Abraham into a great nation, first he had to make him a father, even though Abraham and his wife Sarah were old and childless. And once he had made him a father, he had to make him into a family before his descendants, hundreds of years later, could eventually become the nation of Israel. But Israel is only one stage in God's plan. Because then, in the New Testament, we're told that Abraham is our father too. Paul says in our reading this morning, understand then that those who believe, i.e. those who have faith in Jesus Christ, are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles, that's us, by faith, and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So God made Abraham the father of not just the people of Israel, but also of you and me and every Christian who has ever lived and will ever live. The Jewish people believed that God had called them and set them apart as a unique people. And they see Abraham as the father of their nation through blood, through their bloodline. But we as Christians trace our roots, the roots of our faith, through Judaism. And we believe that our faith in Jesus makes us children of Abraham through our faith, thus fulfilling God's promise to Abraham of descendants too many to count. Currently, 2 billion Christians around the world. Now, as important as Abraham is, God did not call Abraham to make him important. He was called for a purpose, that through him all people will be blessed. We believe that Jesus was the fulfillment of the promise of God to Abraham, that through Abraham all peoples on earth will be blessed. Abraham was called not because of his own worthiness, but so that God could work through him to redeem the world. God has a plan, and Abraham is a part of that plan. Abraham's call is just one step in God's plan of salvation for all creation. We, as Christians, have that same call. God called us to be his people through Jesus Christ. God didn't call us because we were more special than anyone else. God loves everyone, regardless of whether we love him back, regardless of whether we even believe in him or not. God did not call us because we're better than anyone else. God called us because God is a loving, forgiving God. We're called not out of our goodness, but out of God's grace towards us. Just as God reckoned Abraham's trust in the promise as righteousness, so God recognizes our faith in Jesus as righteousness. We're loved because God loves all that he has made, and we are called to reflect God's love to the world. We're saved by God's grace to reflect God's grace to the world. We're blessed not merely for ourselves, but to be a blessing for the world. God has called us to be a part of an amazing story, and he's called us, each of us, to play our part in this amazing story. Abraham's part in the story reminds us that faith must involve more than hoping for the best in times of uncertainty. In fact, faith often brings on uncertainty. Faith often means taking a voluntary step from the known into the unknown, in response to God's leading. 8 years ago, September 2011, I went to an ordination discernment weekend. Now, if I've told you this story before, I apologise. Just Leslie and I, we went together to see if collared ministry was for me. And there were opportunities to hear from vicars and vicars' wives and people in training for ordination, and also vocations advisors and other people, to find out what the whole process of ordination, in other words, getting one of these, involved. But by the end of Saturday, I said to Leslie that this just all seemed too big, too complicated, too overwhelming. and that I didn't think it was for me. We would hang around on Sunday morning, we'd have communion, and then we'd just quietly sort of disappear. But that night, I had a dream. This doesn't happen to me often, once in 20 years, okay? So this is not common. Most of my time I spend just bumbling around trying to get things right. I dreamt that I found piles of Christian books and literature just dumped in the street. All of this learning, all of this investment of time and money, of knowledge, of people walking beside me and, you know, teaching me and mentoring me, all of it was in danger of simply being thrown away. I understood it to mean that I was in danger of wasting what had been taught over many years by very, very good and faithful Christian people. So somehow, in that night, I had a conversation with God. I asked God, should I go for ordination? And the answer I heard back was, yes, you must. Now, that seemed quite definite. So I asked God, bearing in mind I'm not sure if I'm just talking to myself or to some undigested cheese, if I must, why do I doubt so much? And the answer I heard back was, because doubt keeps you safe. So I said to God, if I must go for ordination, then you will have to be with me every step of the way. And the answer I heard back was, I will never leave you or forsake you. Basically, in the middle of that night, I came to an agreement with God that I would follow the path towards ordination, that I would take the path one step at a time. God could stop it any time he wanted, but I would continue to take the next step and the next step as long as God made that step available. And then I heard again, I will never leave you or forsake you. So I thought, this is strange. God's written the Bible. Surely he could have given me a different verse. Why has he given me just the same verse? So I asked him, I said, you've written the Bible, you know the Bible, how come you've only given me this one verse? How come you've given me the same verse twice? And the answer I heard was, because you haven't learnt this one yet. 8 years later, I'm still learning it. So I tell you that not because, as I say, it happens to me all the time. That was once in a 20-year thing that happened to me. And that's just part of my story. But our individual stories, each one of us here, our stories are all unique to each of us. God calls us according to his plan, but also according to his love for us. He wants the best for us. He longs for us to flourish as he has created us and as he has gifted us. And he has called each and every one of us to something, something profound, something powerful, and something awesome. We all have a vocation. Now it's my job, Hugh's job, John's job, to help you discern what that might be. Now, it's one of the reasons that we're about to introduce what the diocese calls personal discipleship plans, where everybody, if you want, should be able to come to us, and over a series of one-on-one conversations, we help and we explore what your vocation is. I believe that there are people here who are being called to ordained ministry. It might seem like you're not. It might seem overwhelming, complicated, and huge. But God will take you one step at a time. to that. But the vast majority of us aren't called to ordained ministry. 99% of us are called to live out our Christian faith out there, because that's where the need is. It's my job, Hugh's job, John's job to help you do that. And if we're not doing it, come and tell us. Faith often requires that we voluntarily surrender our own ambitions, our plans, and even our dreams into the hands of God. It may mean letting go of people, of position, of possessions, the things that we've spent our lives investing in. It can involve acts of great, even heart-rending sacrifice. But more usually, it involves simple acts of humility and unseen service. But what it must always involve is change. Faith allows God to change us. Like us, Abraham was far from perfect. Like us, at times his faith faltered. Like us, he made mistakes. Even so, Abraham is held up as an example to all believers to imitate. He gave up his comfort and his security to take on a role far beyond his imagining. And through Abraham's faith, God worked out a plan and a purpose that no one could have conceived: the redemption of all creation through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now, 2,000 years later, God's plan of creation, of redemption for all creation, continues through us, through our submission, through our sacrifice, through our faith. Let us pray. Almighty and awesome God, you have called us to a mighty and awesome job. It's difficult. It's scary. We cannot see the end of it, and yet we cannot ignore it and stay comfortable. Give us, Lord, courage to submit and sacrifice. Increase our faith and help us to trust that you are always with us. Amen.